the word of the Lord, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. We think about everyone, but especially for those of you that are married. And for you that are married, would you hold your hands up so I could see how many are married people in this church service today? God bless you. And as we consider the thought of two people being together, marriage brings that thought into focus in a deep way. And as I consider the fact that two people can be married and still not be close enough to lift each other up when one of them falls. It's amazing the relationship that we have in marriage and how that for some it seems as though it's a disappointment. Because we bring to marriage, especially if we're a woman, we bring our dreams and fantasies and visions of what we expect it to be. And that man at the beginning acts like he's pretty much what that vision has been. But things begin to settle down. A lady wrote me and said, "Pastor, I need your help, your counsel, your prayer, because I feel like my husband's partner." And I thought, wow, you got it made. Praise God. You and your husband, your partners, what else could you want? She said, "I want somebody to romance me. I want somebody to look at me like I am the best thing in the world. I want somebody to gaze at me again and again and again. I want him just to lighten up and brighten up when he even thinks about me. I don't want to be his partner. I want him to see me as a queen that I am. I want him to be excited about me." Well, you see, the scripture says in the New Testament, Paul says, "Husbands, love your wives as you love your own body." And that's about how we love our wives. We thank God for our body. We appreciate it. But I don't see nobody going around, "Oh, what a body I got," except the young guys. Most of us, we just thank the Lord, "I got two working legs, and I got two arms that move, and I got a body that gets me around, and I thank God for it. I got a wife, and she takes care of everything, and she washes the clothes, and she takes care of a lot of things for me, and I thank God for her." But you see, there has to be something more than this if we're going to be close enough to lift somebody when they fall. You got to be closer than just in the same room. The Apostle Paul says to the husbands, he said, "Husbands, don't be bitter against your wives." What most husbands don't realize, we know how to be bitter about everybody. We know how to be bitter about the guy who's fooling around in front of us in his car. We know how to be bitter about the kids. We know how to be bitter about the dog. We know how to be bitter about everybody at work. We even know how to get bitter about some people in church. And it spreads over to the wife too. "I wish you would quit doing that. It bugs me." You see, we need the Lord to help us so that we can be better people. But one thing you're going to learn, if you're looking for the love that's going to satisfy you, you better look for it not from humanity, you better get it from God. Because very few people are going to find the perfect relationship. You're going to have to understand in this moment that it's a trade-off. Humanity is joined to humanity, and humanity isn't perfect. And God wants to perfect us, and he will help us to become more than we are. But we have to understand in this moment, "God, I need you to shape me. Put me back on the potter's wheel and do another work after salvation. I need to get back after I'm born again. I need to get back after I got a testimony. I need to get back after I got victory. I need to get back after I have come a long ways in the grace of God. But I want to be able to minister in this moment in a way that can encourage you to know that life isn't perfect. And if you're looking for perfection, you're not going to get it from yourself, and you're not going to get it from the church, and you're not going to get it from people that you love and people that you wish would be more perfect than they are. You have to know in this moment, God, forgive me for my shortcomings and forgive those I love for their shortcomings, but help us all come closer to you. God, take us higher than this. Take us further than where we are right now. My God, help us indeed. The reason that there is such a blessing in being a part of a church, a marriage, a family, is that when you fall, somebody can help you up. Somebody can keep you from falling. And it's easier to get up with somebody's prayers than when you're all by yourself. Whether it's a nervous breakdown or an anger tantrum or if it's another difficulty, you need to know in this moment, God, I thank you that you have ordained that believers are able to help one another. And if you're going to help another person, you have to understand that the person I'm going to help isn't perfect and I'm not perfect, but he is perfecting me, and you got to help somebody who has fallen. You got to help somebody who stumbled. You got to help somebody that is not where they should be. But God gives power in this moment. We need to get closer to God so that we in this hour can understand that this journey is never a journey where that it's perfect. This isn't heaven yet, but thank God he brings us a long ways. But if you're here today and you say, yes, I wish I had a friend, and I used to have a friend, but she doesn't have time for me anymore. I went to another church and I had a friend and she was a real blessing, but I don't have her as a friend any longer. I had a friend at another time in life, but in this moment I'm all by myself and I feel how empty I am. I just wish that somebody could be my friend. If that is a little bit of your thought, I want to take you to Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. And it says here, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then it speaks about negative things. In the same harmony that we would think about falling, these are things that can happen in your life when you are a believer. And what does he say? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You see, many of us have a feeling, if I'm blessed of God, I'm not going to have any problems. If I'm blessed of God, I'm not going to have any storms. If I'm blessed of God, I'm going to have victory. If I'm blessed of God, I'm going to have a good job. If I'm blessed of God, I'm going to have great health. If I'm blessed of God, I'm going to have all the things that God has promised. I'm believing I'm going to have every promise that he has. But this scripture says when things go wrong and when things happen that you don't expect, and when things go on that leave you even to famine or nakedness or peril or storm or sword, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, blessing is not God. Blessing is what God gives.
But if blessing is withheld, you still have God. If you lose your job, you still have God. If you go to the doctor and he tells you what you never thought you would hear, you still have God's love. If people misunderstand you, you still have God's love. If things don't work the way you expected, you still have God's love. If everything around about you is being shaken, you still have God's love. If people don't understand you, you still have God's love. If nobody takes time for you, you still have God's love. If people look at you and look through you without noticing you, you still have God's love.
Some people think we have God's love because we have a testimony, and I pray you will have a testimony of greatness. But if everything goes wrong, there's one thing that never leaves, that's His love. Hear me. If your children turn away from God and you look and you have to visit them in prison, you still have God's love. If everything in your life seems to be a shambles, you still have God's love. If you've fallen in your own life and you say, I don't know how I could have come to this place, you still have God's love. I want to tell you, if you end up in prison, you still have His love. You have His love. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Give God a praise offering. Who are the two that can walk together, you and God? Because you can depend on Him. When a husband is bitter against you, you can depend on him. When a wife is fed up with you, you can depend on him. When people around about you don't notice you, you can depend on God. You need to understand what a friend I have in Jesus. Because the passage that we are reading tells us that there may be a time of disruption of blessing. There may be a time that you could even face death, and I pray not. But one thing, you can never find a time that you're outside of His love. Then you better start thanking God for His love. That's the only insurance I have. That's the only insurance you have. What if everything that about you goes wrong? What do you do then? You look up and you say, God, you still love me. God, you still love me when everything goes wrong. Why am I preaching this message? Because it's prophetic. Because in the future, you're going to find some things go wrong that you didn't expect in the nation, in your family, among people that you love. You're going to look and you're just going to wonder, God, where are you? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Trouble is not an indication that God doesn't love you. Man is born unto trouble, the Bible says, just as surely as when from the anvil of the blacksmith the sparks fly upward, there is trouble. And thank God you've had as little as you've had. Praise God you've had as little as you've had. But there'll come a day when the only one you can turn to is He who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and say, God, I'm so glad that you're still here. In my storm, you're still here. As I begin to fall, you're still here. Lift me up, God, and keep me in this moment. It's not what I expected, but I know that I can depend on you when things go wrong. As a nation, we've had so much that has gone right in this nation that we're able to rejoice in the fact that God has blessed us, and we know that what we sow, we reap, and if we work hard, we get a return, and when we do the right thing, it brings a reward. But that's not always so. There's been people that have lost their lives
for the gospel's sake. There's missionaries that have gone home to be with the Lord when they went there with a call in their lives. What happens when you're doing God's will and everything goes wrong? His love is there. And before anything goes wrong in your life, I want you already to know ahead of time, His love is still there. His love is still there. His love is still there. The same love that was there when He blessed me is the same love that is there when the storm is breaking upon me. I thank You, God. My hope is in Thee. I thank You, Lord. I praise You. You need to have your greatest relationship with God Almighty. Because it's more difficult to have deep relationships. How many people used to go to church and they said, man, we were a family. When I was a kid, we went to church and we stayed afterwards and we ate and we just was there and we got back at night and we were there for all day long. Not many people stay in church all day long. And some people, if you walk in and out, they'll never notice you if you're here or not. So you're not always going to get love out of every hour of culture, in every city, in every community. There's never going to be a perfect hour that you live in. And what happens when, as a woman said to me, I come to church and it seems like nobody notices me. Nobody really cares about me. Another man came to me and said, everybody calls me brother. They don't know what my name is. Said, I want a friend. I want a friend. You better take hold of this friend, Jesus, because every friend you get is going to disappoint you sooner or later. Your friend will disappoint you. Sooner or later, your husband will disappoint you. Sooner or later, the preacher will disappoint you. But He never will disappoint you. He's God and He loves you. I think one of the things that happens is that people feel that church should be a perfect place. And so we expect the standard of love to be terribly, terribly, terribly rich in the church. The fact is that so many people are stressed in this hour that not everybody's going to make you on a pedestal. Not everybody is going to notice you every Sunday. Not everybody is going to tell you again and again what a blessing you are. You got to get away of depending on people and realize people are people and they fail. But He never fails me. And when I need someone to help me, it's Jesus I turn to. And I know that He will never leave me and He will never forsake me. One of our locations, I was preaching Sunday after Sunday, and there was a man and his wife. They came in almost altar call. After a while, I couldn't handle it no more, and I said to him, why do you come in so late? He said, I come for fellowship. I come for fellowship. He wasn't coming for other things. He was coming for fellowship. When I was first pastor in Mount Clemens, I'd go visit people that were visitors. And I was expecting them to say, oh, what a message I heard Sunday. And they said, your church is the most friendly church we've ever been in. Your church is the most friendly church that we've ever been in. What a friendly church. And thank God for friendliness, but you better not come to church for friendliness. You better come to church for the Word, to get changed, to get delivered, to get fed, to be encouraged. Thank God for the spinoff of friendliness, but that's not what you need. You need God in your life. You need Him to deliver you from the power of whatever the shackle is that holds you captive still. The friendliest church shows God's love, and we will not minimize that. But I want to tell you, just because you find a church that everybody greets your hand warmly doesn't mean that you are getting fed spiritually and you're getting transformed. You need to know the love of God more than the love of a friendly church. You need to come to church to worship. Some people say, oh, I come to church because of music. Oh, hey, I like the music at Evangel. I thank God for the music at Evangel, and I do too. But I tell you right now, you better find something more than music. You better find something more than music. Because the world goes after music. I get on to satellite radio, and I find the thing that sells more people satellite radio is what I don't even listen to. It's music. But they got every kind of music you could want. Why? Because we're a music people. Thank God that we have an interest in music. But I want to tell you, music will not destroy the works of the devil, except the Holy Ghost is in the music, except the Word is in the music, except the power of God is in the music. It's not the beat that brings retreat. It's the power of God that destroys the work of the devil. You need to come to church to get to know Him.
As you search for love and friendship and fellowship, what are you going to find? Disappointment. You're going to find disappointment. Nobody can live up to your dream. Nobody can meet your standard. And like a woman who had a husband who was a partner, and I was thinking, my, you're blessed. I wish more women could say that my husband's my partner. She said, no. I want my husband to be locked into me like he was when he saw me the first time. I want him never to be able to get over the thought of how great I am, how wonderful I am, how beautiful I am, how glorious I am. I want him to see me like I am a queen. And she was disappointed, as so many of you here are, in relationships. What can we do about relationships? God can help us to have better relationships. He said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, in that ye have love one toward another. But where are you going to get your love from? You got to get somebody to teach you. You got to know the love of God that is in Christ. You got to understand how much He loves me. Until He begins to soften your heart, until He begins to work a miracle within you, until you're transformed by the renewing of your mind, until you sense, glory, God has changed my life. But before I close, I want to address something that I spoke a moment about before, and that is that strong people have a tendency to be bitter. And that's not just men anymore, because women are stronger than they've ever been. And they're more bitter than they've ever been. And if you don't believe that, you get out on the highway. I want to tell you, that's a gal about 30 years of age has got herself a car that she is driving, and she isn't going to let you get in, and she's going to cut in front of you, and it's worse than used to be when the young men were there. You're not going to mess with me, mister. I'm equal to you, only I'm a little better. And what is happening in this hour, we're finding that bitterness is not something that is the danger of a man only. It's a danger of any strong person. My God, help me to understand. I need to get delivered from this bitterness. I need to get free from this bitterness. I need to get loose from this bitterness, because I can't get close to somebody else if I'm bitter, and somebody needs my help, and I can't help them while I'm bitter. God, help me
with my bitterness. The more you know, the more able you are, the more equipped you are, the more you're prone to be bitter. Just to say, I'm sick and tired of this, and I'm sick and tired of that, and I'm sick and tired of that, and I'm not going to put up with that, and I'm not going to put up with that. What is your problem? Paul said, husbands, don't be bitter. He would say in this hour, husbands and wives, don't be bitter. And how can I be delivered from this bitterness? By understanding he who's King of kings and Lord of lords is known not only by his strength, but he's known by his love. God, help you and I to be known by our love. Help us in this hour to sense that we have been taught by the Holy Spirit how to be a loving person, how to be a loving person, not just a strong person, not just a victorious person, not just a person with a testimony, but help me, dear God, in this hour to be free from my bitterness. And when I fall, I would be so grateful, dear God, if you got a brother or a sister there to help, or a partner in that moment. But if there's nobody there, you never leave me. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? And I can just hear a lot of great people saying, hey, I'm right with God and I got blessing coming and that's never going to touch me. Well, don't rewrite the scriptures. Let's just read it as it is and see that it says that for somebody, this is going to be theirs. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. How are you going to conquer? Not by your bitterness, not by your anger, not by your frustration, not by your stubbornness. You're going to conquer by his love. Too many of us are conquering with the wrong tools. We're using carnal ways of making it through the storm. God, bring me to my knees in the storm so that I can be brought into victory with your love. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord, our King, and our Savior. Stand with me in this service. I can't promise you every day a blessing day. I know not what storm or surprise could come your way, but this I can tell you, that his love will never fail you. His love will be there no matter what goes wrong. His love is going to be there. He will be with you when everything fails you. He will not fail you. He will not fail you. And there's some of you that are in this service today that you've been surprised by some storms that have come your way, both personal and those that have come to you from external forces. And you need to put your trust in God in a fresh anointing. I want you to come right now to the front of the church, you that God has spoken to in this service. I don't know what could fail you. I don't know what surprise could come your way. What if you lost the best job and you looked and your credit was going down the drain and you didn't know what you were going to have? And What if you went to the doctor and he told you, I got news for you, you need another test and it doesn't look good? What if you found out that your husband was just about what you thought he was? And by God's grace, you don't want to put up with it no more. What do you need? You need God's love. You need God's love. You need God's love. You need God's love. When things go wrong and you fall, who's going to lift you up when nobody wants to lift you up? There's somebody who still wants to lift you up. His name is Jesus. When everybody else would put their foot on you, you still got Jesus who's willing to lift you up. When everybody else says, I told you so, he's there and he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I want to tell you today, you only got one friend that you can know will never leave you nor forsake you. You only got one friend that close. His name is Jesus. Then why don't you embrace him with your heart and your love and thank him in this moment and understand why we worship? Because what a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend. Hallelujah. There's some of you after service that need to get right with God, maybe somebody to get saved. We won't let you leave here without Christ if you want him. But right now I'm speaking to believers that have already prayed a sinner's prayer and you're struggling. You're struggling in this moment knowing if I fall, there's nobody there to help me. If I fall, there's nobody there to help me. If I really fall, I'm not sure that there's anybody there to help me. I want you to know that's a lie. He's there, and he's there to help you. 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 He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Just lift your hands and praise him for a moment. Just praise the friend you have. Just praise this friend you have. Just praise him in this moment. Hallelujah. Thank him for his love. Hallelujah. My God, let your love, your anointing be poured out upon this people because we're hungry and we thirst, dear God, after love. It's an hour, dear God, when it's hard to have an intimacy to the degree of desire. But God, I'm so thankful when it's not ours in other places, it's always ours in thee. We thank you and we praise you. Take our bitterness. Take our bitterness. Take our bitterness. Take our bitterness. And give us your mind and your heart. I ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. And I believe you for it. I claim it in Jesus' name. And God's people said amen. God bless you today.